Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. My boss, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Had a nice off day yesterday. I trust that the Padres had a nice off day. And I say yesterday as we tape this on Tuesday morning, the Padres about to play Seattle Mariners for three. By my count, Jay, that means nine in a row coming up against teams that presently have losing records. The Mariners, the Rockies, two with the Angels. You face the A's, very, very good. And I believe the Dodgers after that. But I, you know, like Jace Tingler, I like to take this one series at a time. So let's not get too far ahead. But actually, I did want to get too far ahead, Jay, because the second half, I mean, the Padres survived this first half. And that to me is like the big thing. Like, this is maybe finally a team that you go, you know, on paper might mean something. Like a Zach Greinke's coming in and they beat Zach Greinke, a team that they should beat. Maybe this Padres team can actually do well in the second half.
No, it's true. I read something today that the Padres had the third best record in the National League. And by the way, I hope the Padres had more of a day off than you did yesterday, writing a 60-inch story plus a newsletter. Not really a day off, but much appreciated, I'm sure, by the readers, and a good story online and a good package in today's paper that I hope people saw, because we do print a paper every day for a lot of people. despite what you hear from the outside, we do print a paper, and a lot of people read it every day. But anyway, the Padres,
and I get a lot of emails from those folks, and it surprises me because, you know, there they are. They're reading that newspaper, and man, do I appreciate them. All right, Jay.
And not all of them are on Twitter either, believe it or not. I know sometimes it's hard to believe, but the whole world is not on Twitter, and we had some good stuff over the weekend and today, obviously. So, but anyway, back to the important stuff, which is the Padres have the third best record in the National League. And I read that, and I like did a double take, and I actually had to call up the standings. It's like, wait, is that really true? And it is. We touched on this a little on Friday when they had won the four in a row, that how things had changed just in a week or in 4 days. And now you look at how things have changed in a week. And they went from 11 and 12 when we talked a week ago yesterday to 18 and 12. And with a four game lead now, I think, for second place in the NL West, which is, as we've talked about, is really the key race above all else, to make sure you don't have to worry about anybody in other divisions. I still say don't worry about the Dodgers. They're basically in a league by themselves right now. But that doesn't mean if you get into the postseason, you know, look how close the games have been with the Dodgers. Look what's happened in the postseason. It's a complete crapshoot. The idea is to get there. And right now the Padres have a four-game lead with 30 to play in terms of getting there. So that's the thing to focus on is second place in the NL West. And right now, I think the Padres have I'm not a big believer in these probability, you know, they have a 98% chance of winning the game in the fifth inning or whatever. But right now, I think the Padres are like 96% or 97% to make the playoffs. And I actually have to start thinking, like, what are we going to do if the Padres make the playoffs from a work standpoint? I've never had to deal with that, you know, in my years as a sports editor. It almost happened in 2010, which was my first go round, and I want to get to 2010 a little bit later, but it almost happened then, and since then it's never even been anything to think about. So that could be something different. So start thinking of ways that you can write like 60 inches an hour to keep everybody in full flight here.
You talk about, and I don't think you can belabor this too much, because I think that we should, and baseball's a sport where maybe sometimes you don't, because the games come so fast and furious, you know, where like one day off seems like a vacation. But I was going through for my midseason report, and I kind of got hooked on this idea of, wow, there's six players with OPS plus, and that's a metric that I think is a nice, tidy metric to compare players, right? Mm-hmm. It supposedly normalizes these statistics on base plus slugging percentage. over eras and ballparks, and 100 is average, and 150 is 50% above average. And we don't really have to worry about that here in San Diego, where a guy would have a 150. But six players at 131 or above. The Padres, I think it was three or four times, have had six players when you finish the season, and that's a whole other matter to finish the season, at 100 or above. They've only there were more seasons than not where they didn't even have somebody at 131. I mean, it's just like, wow. There are position players out there on a daily basis that are above average in beautiful Padres uniforms.
I know. That's the other thing, is they're doing this in a year where they actually look really good, you know, on the field in more ways than one. And it was it's good timing with the uniforms. But, I mean, there's no question this offense has been phenomenal so far and ranks near the top in most categories. Fernando Tatis leads the world in a bunch of categories, you know, and he just continues to amaze. And I think MLB tweeted something the other day after his catch that said, you know, unbelievable. And I said, yeah, but it's really not, because we see it every day. And it there reaches a point where you just kind of expect the unexpected from him. Two spectacular plays in the field the other day to go along with how steady he's been. And so it's just sort of adding to the legend. And yes, it's 30 games. And normally we'd be saying, well, it's 30 games and there's still 132 to go. We don't have to say that this year. Yeah. There's only 30 games to go. And the Padres are in a good position right now, and in large part because of the offense. But don't forget, you know, some of the pitching as well, and I wanted to talk about this at some point today, and we can do it now, in terms of the trading deadline is less than a week away. And what do the Padres do here with, in terms of trying to find an arm? Do they need an arm? Do they need two arms? Do they not need an arm? You know, sort of where do things stand? The bullpen, they actually won what turned out to be two bullpen games over the weekend against the Astros, which, you know, would have been unthinkable, and especially without Pomerantz and Yates. I'm not sure you want to rely on that strategy through most of the remaining month in the season. But where do you think things are right now in terms of trying to find an arm? And what's the best arm to find? Is it a reliever or is it a fifth starter?
Well, if it's a fifth starter, because Joey Lucchesi is supposedly going four or five innings, and my understanding is Joey Lucchesi, if they don't make a trade, which I think they're sort of bracing themselves for the eventuality that they won't make one just because of all the factors that go into it. Mm-hmm. But they're certainly trying. And I think it's reliever. A starter, if you were to go get a starter today and he could get in and clear the protocols, he's going to make four starts.
Okay.
Theoretically, unless you decide you're going to space out some of your other guys, because of the Padres, after, well, starting today, they play seven in a row, have an off day, and then play 15 in a row, and then have, in the final, whatever that is, 12 days, have two off days, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't need the fifth starter there, except, I mean, it'd be somebody that could go to the bullpen.
That's the thing, is, so there's so many things, and you don't get a straight answer, but what you get is all the reasons why you wouldn't do it when you talk to people. Oh, well, we don't need him that much. Oh, well, depending on who you get, you're just renting him. You know, the season could end at any moment, which we all kind of forget, right? Especially here in San Diego, right? The team's going so great. But there's other places where they're like still traumatized from having missed, you know, seven games, and, you know, they've got 47 games still to play. And, you know, plus, you know, they're moving games out of Houston. And so there's that thought. There are people that, you know, look, you talked about the playoffs, Jay. That's really cool for a team like the Padres, the nature of this year's playoffs. Eight teams get in. You got a best of three to start. It probably is going to be in a bubble. That's not great for the Dodgers. They're like, wait a minute, you know, we could not lose until October and be out of it. Right. So there's just so many things, but I think it's a reliever that most of the calls are happening about. Joey Lucchesi was going to come up and start on Sunday. And then Zach Davies went eight innings. And then they got a day off. And I just feel like from the people that I talk to, who certainly aren't telling me anywhere near everything, that they're becoming more and more emboldened that their bullpen is what they thought it was, and that the schedule sets up for them to get through this season without parting with prospects, to get a, you know, some sort of significant trade in this crazy, crazy season.
Well, that's the other part of it is, what do you give up? And one guy that did come to mind, and this would be someone you'd have to give up some good people for, is a guy, how available is someone like Mike Clevenger? You know, he's had his problems in Cleveland this year. I'm pretty sure he's got 2 years of control after this year. I mean, that guy is a one or a two type of pitcher, so it would take a lot to give up. But is he the kind of guy that is available at this point that you could give up a couple prospects for? Or do you not want to go that route and, you know, sort of do what you talked about, where you kind of get through and you think you have enough as it is right now? Is there any talk about going out and getting someone like that, do you think? Or are they not?
If there is someone, and I have not heard about Clevenger, to be upfront about that, if there is someone, it will be someone like that. They're not going to get a rental, and they are not going to get someone that is going to cost the team a lot of money in the future. And so he fits both of those. There's also a talk about getting a bat, an outfield bat. But again, Jake Cronenworth keeps playing really well. And man, do they love themselves some Jurickson and Profar.
Right.
But that's not to say that they don't understand the reality that another bat to be able to be safe if Will Myers doesn't continue to hit like he has. If Jurickson and Profar goes on another 0-93 stretch, that they know that they would be a better team for that. Is there someone controllable that is also proven out there? But you are absolutely talking about, and this would be the first time that we've seen it, and I don't know that this is the season that we're going to see it. It would be the first time that AJ Preller has really opened up that prospect vault to make his team better. Now it's time to do that. All right. Or it's right close to time to do that. But it would be the first time for a Clevenger or a Whit Merrifield that he had to do that, because those teams are not giving away. Kansas City and Cleveland are not going to be giving away those players.
Right. And I mentioned about 2010 earlier. That was sort of that was the last time that the Padres were in this position toward the end of the season. And I think everyone remembers the trade that they made back then in terms of giving up a prospect to get a bat in that case. And the bat was Ryan Lutwick and the prospect was Corey Kluber. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but you have to be really, really careful about what you're giving up and what you're getting. And, you know, that was a trade that turned out to be a complete disaster on so many fronts. And, you know, we don't want to be sitting here in a couple of years, you know, talking about somebody that got away.
In particular with this group, we know that AJ Preller is, you know, not that anyone would purposely do that, but AJ Preller is going to be real careful about that. And he has such an abundance of prospects, right?
Right.
And it all depends on how he values them and how other people value them, not how we do or Baseball America or MLB.com. Those are good guides for it. You don't see AJ making that. It's just in any other year, it would be negligent. It'd be like a no-brainer. I'd be surprised if he hadn't already made three trades. You know, it started on like July 5th. If his team was this good in a regular year, it's just this year everything is pointing to the conversations that you have, how difficult it is, which probably means that at any point AJ Preller is going to pull off a trade for one of these controlled
rights.
I wanted to get into one thing, Jay. Because you talked about it a little bit ago. You said something that sparked my memory. And I've been working so hard this whole season. Well, not the whole season, but there's some days you have to work harder than others. The lack of access, and there's just a lot that goes along with that. And it's just so weird to follow all these protocols, and you know, being on the road is a whole different beast and all this. And I've been working really hard some days to just stay positive. This is so awesome. I get to cover baseball, right? And you know what's been hitting me lately? How good this team is, and there's no fans in the stands.
Right.
It is. I mean, you just look around and you just – I really hope that people are enjoying the heck out of it and doing like me, focusing on how fun it is to watch this team at home, because sometimes it just hits you how insane Petco Park would be.
Right. I was thinking that over the weekend, like what it would have been like at those three all five games. I mean, you had two walk-offs against the Rangers. You had the three games against the Astros. It would have been
the grand slams. Grand slam. I mean,
I know
mannequins wouldn't have been out there. They're cool and all. just their moments. And be it when they're trying to close out the game, even, but certainly the big moments when someone comes up with the bases loaded, or even a runner in scoring position, and certainly when the home run goes into the crowd or the seats. Now you just go, wow. I feel badly for people. So I hope people are able to do like I'm doing and just focus on, you know what, this is really neat to watch.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to come out one day this week and keep you company just so we can, you know, so you have another fan in the
yes, you'll be cheering. I know
in the stands, because you know how much I would be yelling and screaming if I was out there. That's what's happened to my voice, is all the yelling. Although usually, as someone who lives with me would tell you, most of the yelling comes at my computer at various times on deadline, as opposed to when the Padres are playing. But it has been a lot of fun to watch this team and even the games that they've lost. I mean, win or lose, this team is so much more fun, so much more exciting to watch than what we've seen. I did want to make one point about, I wonder if this is a year where, I don't want to say guaranteed to making the playoffs, because that's ridiculous, but you're close. I wonder if this is, it's such an oddball year. Is this a year where you think, you know what, we actually have a better chance to win this thing now than we do in a year or two? And I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's something to definitely throw out there and wonder if the Padres are thinking like, hey, you know, we have the third best record in the league. Maybe we should make a run at this. And the we in this case is not me. It's just, is that what the Padres are thinking, that a couple of the other teams look weaker now? I mean, the Nationals are certainly weaker. You know, you look and the Braves are good, but not, you know, they're not great, and they lost Soroka. And other than the Cubs and the Dodgers, you know, maybe this is the time to make a run at it. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
And if you were going to do that, then it's the kind of move that we're talking about, with a big one that you give up some prospects. It will be a guy that will still be here in 2021 and 22.
Exactly. I'm not giving up a top prospect for anybody, and I'm also not giving up somebody decent for a rental. I mean, it would have to be somebody that would make a difference not only this year, but look, the odds are it's not going to work out this year in terms of getting the World Series or winning a title. If you could get a guy that could help you not just this year, but for another year and maybe even 2 years, it's certainly something to think about at this point in the season after the week they've had. And you can't get carried away. It was 1 week, and the previous week wasn't so good.
When I sat down to write yesterday to really think about it, where they're at, it's like you wanted to be like, well, it was just a week. Well, it was a week and a shortened season. And the fact is that week got them, that 7 games in a row got them to 6 games above 500, which means they were pretty decent before that. It wasn't like in the past where this team would, you know, go on a 6-game winning streak, because it happens, right? The Pirates this year could go on a 6-game winning streak conceivably. And that 6-game winning streak only got them back to like within 10 games of 500.
Right.
7-game winning streak gave them the third best record in the National League and got them 6 games above 500. That means that they've actually had a good first half in totality. And that made me kind of buy in, be more like, all right, you know what? I'm going to talk about what a great first half they had. It was funny that it was only whatever it was, 9 days ago.
Yeah.
It was falling apart. We just found out about Kirby Yates. How in the world could they go on at this pace? They absolutely had to trade for some arms. Tommy Pham was out, so.
Well, we didn't even know Pomerantz was going to be out at that point, too. Imagine the black cloud that, you know, that people would have been figuring was over the team at that point. You know, we talked early in the year that it was probably going to take, 30 wins or so, 31 wins to guarantee you a playoff spot. It's probably right around that spot. Still, you might even be able to get in at 29, maybe. I mean, you look, the Padres really, they need to win like 12. If you figure if they need to win maybe 12 games out of the last 30 to get into the playoffs, 12 or 13 at the most to get in the playoffs, I would think you'd be pretty safe with that. They should be able to do that, even with what they have at this point. So that's why I do lean against making some sort of big move, you know, unless it's, as we said, unless it's for somebody that's going to help you in the future. But I really think this is another really good week, because you've got three against the Mariners who, yeah, they played well over the weekend against the Rangers team that hasn't won a game since the 3-0 swing by Tatis. And then you have the Rockies, although the Padres have seemed like they always struggle against the Rockies, especially at Coors. But, you know, if you have a week like, let's say you go, I don't know, because the Rocky series is one of those weird wraparounds. You win four or five games out of the next seven. Now you're talking like you're up to 22 or 23 wins and right at the trading deadline. And now you can really have to think about, you know, do we try to get one or two people to really push us over the top? Or are we happy with the way things are going and we just sort of stay where we are? It's, you know, to be in the head of AJ Preller at any time would be fascinating. But I think right now to be in those meetings with him and his staff really be interesting in terms of what sort of options they have at this point.
Yeah, can you imagine like them throwing around like getting a starter right now? And this is, you know, I haven't been able to get any traction on this in terms of it being a reality or anything, but you get a starter like a Clevinger. Who are you sending to the bullpen in the postseason? I mean, it really makes your, theoretically, it just really makes your pitching staff so much better in a shortened season and in a playoffs.
Right. And you still, you know, if you got a guy like Clevinger, you'd be set up for next year. I mean, I you know, I don't know what Garrett Richards' future is at this point. I mean, you obviously have Lamed and Paddock and Davies under control. And you've got young guys. I mean, Patino looked great over the weekend. And obviously Gore is still down there and some other guys. So I'm not sure you really have to make a huge move to get a top-of-the-line starter. I that's why I wouldn't be surprised at all if, like you said, that the move is to get a reliever and someone that can sort of bolster that end of the team. Especially since we don't know, we don't expect Yates back, and we don't know what's going on with Pomerantz. I mean, they could say today that Pomerantz is out for the season, and I wouldn't be like, oh my God, where did that come from? I hope it's not the case, but it wouldn't surprise me at this point if he's down for a while. Or if he's out there tonight. I mean, who knows with the way these things work.
Well, that's the thing. More than any other season, and I'm trying to like, is it in my head? I mean, I'm more paranoid than any other season. It's just a bizarre, it seems like there's something around every corner, and it's very strange. But last word here, Mackenzie Gore. The thought is still that he would be, the last I checked, and this was a few days ago, that when he comes up, that it's as a starter. That's the thing. He's not Luis Patino. But there's always the, if we need him, you know, we'll make this guy work out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And you think about what Luis Patino has been able to do here, learning in that bullpen and getting better in that bullpen, figuring out how to pitch to major league hitters. And it just kind of makes you wonder. So I'll be checking again today on Mackenzie Gore because, you know, I think we all know that the mix and that velocity that Patino has, it really does play well, or it can play well. Mm-hmm. He's a starter for sure, but you saw, okay, cool. I'm good with them bringing him up, but you just wonder if they do need another arm. My thing lately is throw out everything we know about constructing a pitching staff this year. They are going to figure out a way to get through these 60 games and get through the playoffs.
Right.
And so is it three starters and then everybody else, you know, figures out a way to get through two games. So, you know, Mackenzie Gore could be at any time.
Yeah, I mean, I've wondered about that as well. And you mentioned that, you know, they were going to bring Lucchesi up to start. And I'm sure if that had happened, there'd been a lot of talk like, well, why isn't Mackenzie Gore coming up? So it would be, I mean, that's the thing, the stuff, everything that goes on at USD is closed. And so we can watch for ourselves what's happening on the field with the big league club and see who's doing well and see who's not and see who's available. And, you know, figure out who's available and figure out who's not. We have no idea what's happening at USD. And it's so different than the past because normally Mackenzie Gore would be at AA or AAA right now pitching. And at least you'd know every 5-6 days, okay, Mackenzie Gore went 6 innings tonight. He struck out 8, gave up 2 hits, that sort of thing. we have no idea right now. He could be pitching every fifth day at USD and getting hit all over the yard, or he could be, you know, lights out. So
and all I'm getting is, oh, he's looking good, or he's not doing this, or we don't think this is ready, but we don't know. There's not scouts going in and out.
Exactly.
Coaches from the team. There's not, you know, there's also not all sorts of people that are privy to what Mackenzie Gore is doing. There's only the Padres who are privy to that against other players. So it's hard for everybody right now.
I agree. But anyway, last night was weird. Didn't come out of my office. Used to coming out of the office at 6:10 and going into the family room and getting the game on and missed it last night. So eager tonight to see some baseball. Chris Paddock and with an extra day's rest and Marco Gonzalez. And then we'll see Lamet and Richards on Wednesday and Thursday. So looking forward to seeing some baseball and to seeing you out at the ballpark, Kevin, and to everyone else. We will talk to you on Friday.
Thank you, everybody.